When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
Letting go of what I can't control, understanding that I'm trying to control an outcome, and I'm getting so frustrated that all of the world around me is aligning up behind me and not wanting to help me control this outcome, and that they're not agreeing with me,
yep,
or they're not thinking that I'm right, or they're not trying to do the best. So letting go of what I can't control.
Everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It is me, Michelle, and I am yet again sitting here with my mother, Barbara. And we're so excited to be chatting with you all again this week about one of life's most interesting topics. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. I'm excited to be with you and talking as per usual.
Me too. Me too. We've had some pretty heavy-duty topics, I feel, in the past few weeks. Maybe they're all.
This week is going to be any different,
though.
And
that's exactly what I was going to say. I feel like this week is going to be another one that hopefully that will serve all of you listeners. And because it's certainly been up for me, and I think it's been up for a lot of people, given the times that we're living in.
Yeah. We are living in very heightened, interesting times. There's a lot going on globally. There's a lot of unrest and uncertainty and anxiety and everywhere. You know, the U.S. election is coming up. But it's not just in the U.S. There's always things going on in every part of the world where it leads us to feeling anxiety and uncertainty and at times panic. And so today we're going to talk about how do we manage those feelings and how do we manage those times, because those times do happen, not just now. I mean, I think a lot of us feel anxiety about what is to come, or some gloom and doom about what is to come, or just the possibilities of life. But I think if we look back in history, that's a pattern that happens quite often. So knowing all of that and knowing what you and I just talked about before hitting record, today we wanted to just check in with everyone and talk about how we tend to manage some of these overwhelming or uncertain times, especially when they're extra, extra heightened, like it feels like they are right now. And hopefully give you all some tools to manage it and just move through it with, if nothing else, a little more grace and self-love and self-care.
And I think, too, Michelle, that was really beautifully put. I think, too, you know, these feel like very tumultuous times and very uncertain. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety and a lot of overwhelm, all the words.
And divisiveness.
And divisiveness. And I think I might want to start just for a moment. My mother used to say almost every other day, I think, to us kids, what you don't know can't hurt you. And we all know that that's not true.
Hey, I'm into it. Ignorance is bliss,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, exactly. Ignorance is bliss. And, you know, as I thought back on that over my years as becoming an adult and living life, I'm a champion for knowing,
yeah,
and for understanding and for learning and for growing and becoming. And I think we both are, Michelle, and that's what this whole podcast is about. How can we become the best version of who we are? But I think it, for me in these times, it feels like it's gone overboard with technology. We know everything constantly 24/7, and it really now is upon us, which I think this which I'm hoping this episode can give us some tools, and we're going to give you all some tools of how do we start to manage our own relationship with knowing everything and with needing to know everything all the time. And 24/7, we've got to be on our computers or be on our phones or be on television or whatever it is, newspapers, if that still exists today.
I was going to say, do people television?
Some do. So yeah, that I think is what's for me, I think in talking to people, and you and I, you know, have a worldwide presence. It's all about, we know everything, and every minute that it happens, we know it. So I just love it that we're going to address that. And how can we take our power back in terms of our own self-care, our own anxiety? And we're never talking about, you know, extreme cases of anxiety or depression. These are tools that can be used in anything clinical. You know, that definitely needs possibly some outside help. And we're not trying to say that you can use these tools and you'll be, you know, everything will be just fine at all. But we are trying to say that for most of us, and also for people that are suffering from clinical, some of these tools that we'll give you today will be helpful. It really is about lowering the blood pressure and lowering the temperature in the body, the heart rate and all of that, but also about bringing ourselves back to what is real in this moment, or bringing ourselves back to the present moment. There's a quote by Marcus Aurelius that I absolutely love. And he says, never let the future disturb you. Remember, you will meet it if you have to, with the same weapons of reason which today arm you against the present moment. And it always gives me a little comfort, because it really, I think, validates that I have my power. I have the ability to control what I can control. And I am the caretaker of my own body and my own mind and my own life. And so that gives me a little bit of hope that, yeah, we can do this if we don't allow the outside world and the things that are happening to take us down a path that's not even happening yet. And some things are happening. I don't want to say that there aren't things happening in the world today that we're not happy with and that we're not okay with and that we want to see changed. But what understanding what we can do in this moment.
Absolutely. And I think going back to your point that you started with, you know, ignorance is bliss, or what you don't know can't hurt you. I agree with you that this podcast and you and me are people who desire to know and to learn and to grow and all that stuff. But I will say, with the times that we're living in, I do almost feel like once you know stuff, you can't unknow it. And so we are living in a world where we have access to information at our fingertips. We can be constantly engulfed with everything happening everywhere all at once. And that can be really, really overwhelming to a point where it can make us want to be ignorant, or to want to be, you know, in a padded room where, you know, nothing is going on, because it's so much, it's so intense, it's all the time, and it never stops. So I think even just acknowledging that there's likely some of that dynamic with us going on, of like wanting to be informed, wanting to be in the know, but it's just a lot. And I don't think as human beings, we were meant to have this ability to know what everyone's doing all the time. Even to, you know, benign examples of like, how does it impact us to be able to know like what you had for breakfast on the other side of the country via social media? Like, we're just taking in so much information. We know so much about each other all the time. And it's just a constant barrage of data and information and emotion and all of those things. So I will say, I do think it's normal if it's even an inner conflict for you as someone who usually likes to be in the know and to learn, to kind of feel like I just can't anymore because it's too much. Like, you're burned out from data overload, because certainly that's kind of how I feel at this moment in time. And I almost feel like you and I, Mom, have gone into a little bit of a role reversal. Historically, I'm the one that's down rabbit holes, constantly reading stuff and knowing stuff, and then filling you in, but I think you've been taking on that role lately.
Well, I think
so. It's just, I just wanted to say that for anyone who feels that way, because it's very real.
You're exactly right, Michelle. And I think that's why, you know, when I notice that I'm going down that rabbit hole, or I notice that I'm taking in too much content, that's, this episode is going to be all about that. How can we actually start to manage our own lives? We can't allow ourselves to be victims and allow ourselves to be open and receptive to everything that social media, to the internet, to the world, to all of those portals that are giving us all of this information all of the time. We have to now take our own life back into our own hands. We have to be able to set boundaries, actually. We have to be able to set boundaries and say, okay, I've taken in too much. Could it be that I'm feeling so anxious today because I've been on this thread of something horrific that's happening in the world too long? Mm-hmm. We want to be informed. So this is not about not being informed. This is not about not knowing anything. It's really about tuning into your own bodies and really understanding, wait, I am starting to feel depressed. Or the things that I'm reading are starting to really depress me. We can't really be of service and be of help to ourselves and others if we fall into a rabbit hole. We have to be able to find that balance and maintain that equilibrium of knowing enough where we can do whatever it is that we feel like we need to do and arm ourselves with all of the information that we need, and not knowing too much. Because this is my thing that I've always said from day one when I started my practice 40 years ago, when we didn't even have internet and all of that, but we still had newspapers and we still had people talking. We still had the news. We still had all of that. I always said to myself, Barb, I want to know what's going on, but I don't want to know what other people's opinions necessarily are about what's going on.
That's interesting.
And today, 90% of the news is what other people think about it. They're trying to persuade us, or they're trying to tell us what's true or what is real. Where I just want to know the facts. I just want to know what is actually happening. And then I'll make my own decision. I'll decipher what it is that I think is happening, or what it is that I feel, or what it is that I believe. And that doesn't mean I don't want to necessarily have conversations with people about it. It just means I don't want to sit and listen over and over and over again to what other people think about something, where it starts to become a broken record and it starts to infiltrate my consciousness. It actually starts to bring me down, maybe in my mood, maybe in my attitude. I start to feel, lonely or scared or anxious or overwhelmed. And I don't really know why. I'm at my work and I don't know why I'm feeling overwhelmed. Well, I'm feeling overwhelmed because I'm flooded with fear, or I'm flooded with sadness. So I think that's where we could start, is that we need to monitor our own selves so that we can know what we're taking in and how much we can take in.
Definitely. And it is very easy to fall into that and let it consume you. I think you and I both have been guilty of that. And we're going to talk about it, you know, obviously as we get deeper into this conversation, but also having someone to lift you out of it and being like, you need to stop reading your news app. Like I would say to you, or you would say to me, you need to get off Twitter.
Well, for sure. We do need the buddy. We need our friend. We need our closest allies, our closest friends, partners. We need them to say, okay, that's enough. And that's what you and I do for each other. So that would probably be the first tip. Be mindful of the people that you care about and that you're with and you love. And if you start having conversations with them and you feel like it's a normal thing now that every time you get together, you're talking about something, some world event or something that's happening that's really scary or really sad, or that's taken us into the future, you know, be helpful for each other. Offer some self-care with each other.
Definitely. So I kind of feel like this topic and a conversation surrounding, you know, anxiety and uncertainty around global events or, you know, society as a whole is kind of like a amalgamation of like everything we ever talk about on this podcast. There's like the aspect of control and feeling out of control, or feeling like you want to control something in an out of control world. There's patience, there's boundaries, there's, like you said or we said just now, like a community aspect. There's having, you know, desires and wants for outcomes and having anxiety of whether or not that's going to happen. And then there's also like disagreements and divisiveness, like all of these things that we've, like, I think if you went down the list of topics we've talked about on the show, I think all of them would kind of pile into this one episode of like, okay, how do we deal when it's everything all at once? And maybe that's why it's so much, because it's all of the difficult emotions that we feel, but it's, you know, compiled into this massive mega emotional event.
Yeah, well, so, just to piggyback on that, Michelle, if you think about it, we have political unrest all over the world. As you said, we have an election coming up here in the United States. So political unrest all over the world. We have wars going on. We have major climate change happening. And we know this for certain here in the United States. We live in Florida. And we've had back-to-back hurricanes within a week. And, you know, the season isn't even over yet. You know, there could still be a few more to come. So it's overwhelming, economic crisis. And then we just came out of a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
So it is, what you're saying is very true. This is a lot. So it is nearly impossible to escape all of the things that feel like are kind of cascading down upon us, you know, every moment. But we have to be able to raise above that. We have to be able to take it one thing at a time, or one step at a time, or one day at a time. Otherwise, we become powerless. We truly become powerless, that we feel like we're at the mercy.
It's true. And I think it's easy to feel like you're powerless, especially when you, because of social media and technology, you can be witness to so much suffering and so much sadness and feel like I can't do anything. I can't do anything to stop this, and I can't do anything to help. And it's very heavy. And, you know, even the American Psychiatric Association does their yearly mental health poll. And for 2024, 43% of adults say that they feel more anxious than they did in 2023. And people are really anxious. They said 73% are anxious about the election. That's 73%.
That's huge.
That's huge. Yeah. That's like a lot.
Yeah, it's huge.
The economy and gun violence. Those are the top three events or current events that are over 70%. And those are three pretty heavy topics. And so...
And you throw the climate in there too, I think, is somewhere along there. They're all
heavy.
Yeah,
of course.
You're exactly
but
right.
But it's just... It can feel too much, to where you almost want to like numb out or check out or just not engage at all, because you look at those top three things, like I can't singularly impact that, those topics. Although, you know, there are ways to impact it in our own ways as a collective. But I just wanted to share that because, you know, I feel like at least for me growing up, in school, we were always taught that we can make a difference and what we do matters. And, you know, we're all here trying to do good. And I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I've been feeling a little disillusioned with some of those things that I learned as a child. Like, I don't know. It's so hard. And it sometimes feels like you can try really hard to do good, but there's a lot of bad still happening.
There definitely is. And I think, though, there's always going to be that.
I know.
And
I'm
you're
just
right.
saying it's hard. I guess it's because of, honestly, social media and technology. We know everything. I know not everything, but I can know so much more bad that is happening that I might not have known without technology. That adds to the emotional load.
And that's why we're here today to talk about all these things, because we can make a difference. We can do good. And I think the thing that we're learning more and more, that I'm seeing as I've gotten older, is that We have to make a difference. What we can do may be too small to matter, but it matters that we do it every single day. And it's like trusting the timeline. We don't know when things are going to get better. We don't know when things are going to get to a place where we don't feel this. But we do know if we do our small part and everyone does their small part, it will matter because we do matter. But it is, I understand what you're saying. And I think this poll kind of, if you're feeling that you are overwhelmed and anxious and just feeling like these times, as Michelle was saying, because I know that you and I've talked and you definitely are feeling that in this moment and the past few weeks, this makes me feel like I'm not alone. You know, we're all in the same boat. We are all in the same boat. There's no one probably, you know, that even that 43% are anxious and, you know, those high numbers of economy and the election and gun violence and all of the climate and all of the things just means that we're all caring about the same thing collectively. So if we all just do our little part collectively, then it's going to work out, but maybe not as soon as we want. We want instant gratification so quickly in this world that we live in today. And not that that wasn't the case when I was younger, it certainly was, but not to the degree that it is today. So I think as we move forward in this episode, it's really important to understand that this is hard. This is the hardest that it may feel like in a long time. But certainly it's not the hardest in my lifetime if I think back on the 60s and all of that. But it feels like it. So let's, yeah. You know, because it is a constant thing.
And I will say that, like, complacency and feeling like you just want to check out is worse. You know, like, not letting yourself become so overwhelmed that you're just not going to participate at all is obviously a privilege, because taking action in favor of things that you believe in matters. And I think just if you ever start to feel that indifference or complacency because it's just too much, like, just know that you can keep going and it's worse. Well, indifference is worse.
Well, it is. But also, if you're starting to feel that way, back off. You know, that's what this whole episode is about. That if you're starting to feel like I can't make a difference, it doesn't matter what I do, I'm overwhelmed and everything, it's time to back off and maybe take a week off.
Well, yeah.
And reassess and take care of yourself and back off so that you're not going down into that place where it's going to be really hard to get out of it. And I think we're at a time in our world today that we really, I mean, I can't even stress this enough. We have to have some ways of taking care of ourselves and understanding what's happening with us, because it's too easy to fall into a trap of negativity and whatever I do doesn't matter. So,
all right.
I think, you know, the greatest place for me where I always start is letting go of what I can't control, understanding that I'm trying to control an outcome and I'm getting so frustrated that all of the world around me isn't lining up behind me and not wanting to help me control this outcome, and that they're not agreeing with me.
Yep.
Or they're not thinking that I'm right, or they're not trying to do the best. So letting go of what I can't control. And one of the things that I've thought about recently is that we don't have any control over our thoughts. We don't have any control over our thoughts. We don't have any control over the things in the outside world that we can't control. But we have to stop letting them control us, if that makes any sense. Like, I've thought about that. I think as a collective and as a humans, we're letting our thoughts control us, and that's how we're going down the rabbit hole. And if we can start to recognize that anxiety and uncertainty is living in the future, so the thoughts are now trying to tell us that this is what's happening now. This is what is going to happen. We have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. And we're trying to control the future. We're trying to say, oh my gosh, this is not going to get any better. Look what's happening. Now we have another war. Now we have another this. Now you and I had another hurricane back to back, one in 1 week and one in the next week. And oh my gosh, this is never going to get any better. So we're thinking that what's happening today is going to last forever. And it's not. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. So learning to accept that uncertainty doesn't lead us directly to hopelessness and resigning ourselves to the fact that nothing is ever going to change. Why bother? Why matter?
Yeah. And certainly that concept that we
quite literally can't control anything. And so I think that so much of the frustration and resentment that we're feeling, especially during these times, is because we're trying to control outcomes and people. You know, we live in a very polarized part of the country where it's very, you know, separated. And it's, you can feel tensions around us with between people. People are very impatient with each other. And you can feel like there's an energy of people trying to control other people with their beliefs and with what's right or what's true. And it's that mindset that I can't control what you think. I can't control how you act. I can't control how things are going to unfold. So how can I start to let go of that need to control and the emotions that come from trying to want to control someone and obviously not being successful? Because I think that's where so many people are feeling this like exasperation of like, oh, I'm trying to get someone to do this and they're just not doing it. And I can't stand it any longer. And it's like, okay, that's life. So how can we let go of that and place our energy elsewhere?
Yeah, because our anxiety comes from thinking about the future and wanting other people to do what we want and wanting the life to be what we want it to be, and wanting to control it. And I think for me, what you just said is it takes a lot of trust and it takes a lot of faith and it takes a lot of that I need to do my part, but it also takes a lot of setting the boundaries that people that are not meant to be in our lives, wishing them well and walking away. I think too much we're trying to control other people, as you were saying, but we're also trying to get them to do what we want them to do, which is control, obviously, but we're also not okay with it. Like, we want it all. We want to control them. We want them to do what we want them to do. And then we are not okay with if they don't want to. We're almost not even okay with walking away. We do walk away, but we carry it with us like a baggage, and we're angry and we're irritated and we spew all this stuff out to everybody that will listen to us.
Yeah.
And we really have to do our part. And it's not very easy, but it's for our own mental wellness, our emotional wellness, our mental health. It's for us. It's for our own lives. Do we really want to live the rest of our lives trying to control other people to a point where we're not able to, and then we're going to hold on to that anger and that resentment and that irritability as it disrupts the rest of our lives? And so I think the antidote to this is focusing on what we can control, mm-hmm. focusing on how to take our power back, focusing on what's in our own hands, focusing on the areas of our life that matter while maintaining our physical health, creating a calm routine in our lives that, okay, wait a minute, I've gone over the edge. I really need to come back. Let that person do it. You know, not, and I'm not saying let that person do whatever they want. We're not talking about harming or anything, but you really even can't stop someone from harming another person either. You cannot be in their presence and you cannot participate in the harm and you cannot be okay with it. But we really can't stop people from doing anything. They are going to do whatever it is they're going to do. And we can only be the best version of ourselves that keeps us strong and keeps us powerful and keeps us from possibly, with our actions, stopping things like this from happening day to day to day. So we have to be able to bring joy into our lives at some point. We have to be able to course correct when we feel like we've been overwhelmed or we feel like we've been sidetracked, set the boundaries that we need to set, and wish these people well and leave.
Hey friends, do you ever feel like you're just too busy to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. No more planning, no more stressing about nutrition, no more shopping. Every Sunbasket meal is designed by dietitians and chefs to be healthy, nourishing, and delicious, with none of the hassle. You can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy recipes each week with dietary options like Mediterranean, vegetarian, carb conscious, and even gluten-free dishes, all featuring organic fresh produce. There are truly options for everyone. Plus, you don't have to lock in one type of meal plan. Pick and choose what you're in the mood for every single week. They even have pre-made meal options as well that are just as tasty and ready in just 5 minutes or less. Sunbasket takes care of all the hard parts of healthy eating and delivers right to your door. All you need to do is follow the easy step-by-step recipes, dig in, and enjoy the benefits of eating your best. Go to sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/barbknowsbest to save $120 across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. With the changing of the seasons upon us, I know just how challenging it can feel to transition from the summer to fall fashion. But Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out and add more new-to-you styles. I've been loving trying out Armoire lately. It's been a game changer for me to be able to mix and match, change things up, and keep in mind my sustainability efforts because I'm not constantly purchasing new clothes that just pile up in my closet, creating clutter and unnecessary expense and waste. There are so many benefits to having an Armoire membership. You can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once. Armoire is a woman-founded and woman-led company, which is so important to us. And Armoire can help you actually define your own personal style. So what are you waiting for? Try Armoire today, because right now our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/barbknowsbest. That's armoire.style, A-R-M-O-I-R-E, .style/barbknowsbest to get up to 50% off your first month. And never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Hi, friends. If you're a makeup and skincare girly like I am, you know how important the products are. But have you ever thought about how you apply them is even more important for the results that we're all looking for? Since 2019, Anissa Beauty has been leading the way in creating vegan and cruelty-free makeup and skincare brushes that are safe for your skin and the planet, which is so important to us. Known for their viral and award-winning Pinnacle Foundation Brush, Anissa Beauty has become a fan favorite among beauty lovers. What truly sets them apart is their innovation in skincare brushes, offering tools and specifically designed to pair with moisturizers, serums, and cleansers. They're one of the few brands dedicated to elevating skincare routines with expertly designed brushes that optimize the application and absorption of skincare products. The Anissa Beauty Pinnacle Foundation Brush is an absolute game changer in our routine. My mom and I have been loving adding it into our beauty routine, and it's been so fun to see the benefits and the results. The Pinnacle Foundation Brush is more than just a brush. It's a gateway to understanding that the tool that you use can be more important than the actual product. Anissa Beauty's brushes deliver value and quality like no other, which has completely changed how I apply skincare. I no longer use my hands and I let the brush do the work, ensuring smooth, even application every time. These brushes aren't just tools, they elevate your entire routine. And it's been amazing to try it out. Check out the Pinnacle Foundation Brush as well as several other amazing brushes at anissabeauty.com and get 30% off site-wide with code BARBKNOWSBEST. That's A-N-I-S-A beauty.com. Yeah, exactly. And remembering that you can't control things that happen in the external world, but you can start to manage your responses to it. And I think that's the key here and now in this moment of taking extra space before responding or reacting to something that's maybe triggering or in an opposing viewpoint of as you, you know, especially with engaging in things online, it's so easy to get, you know, triggered by something and engage with like a back and forth with a stranger that you don't even know about something that you really care about. But if you take a couple seconds to sit back and think about, is this really where I want to spend my energy? How do I really want to respond here?
you can really start to protect your peace in a much greater way, in a more impactful way for your own mental health and mental wellness. Because coming from someone who used to always just want to knee-jerk respond and, like, you know, someone says something snarky to me, I'm going to snark back and go down that rabbit hole. It serves no one. And so I think, you know, that concept that we've talked about often on the show of taking the space and really thinking about how you want to interact with people, how you want to engage, how even thinking of something in your back pocket to have if someone says something divisive or combative or triggering to you during these times can be really, really helpful, because it might help you or keep you from saying something that you don't mean, or just getting to yourself into a situation that's just not worth your mental energy.
Yeah, we don't really want to let people take our joy or our peace or our mind or the things that we're doing in our lives or our energy or all those things. I've been thinking about this a lot lately. If you get irritated from time to time, is it really worth the irritation? And so I've really been disciplined a lot lately in setting the boundaries around differing opinions and conversations. And that does not mean that I want to shut down, you know, discussions. I'm just looking for any area where it's a totally unnecessary conflict, where it's starting to affect my energy or starting to affect the way I drive or starting to affect the way I talk to you, Michelle, you know, all of that stuff. And it's not important. I can have my beliefs and have my feelings and stuff, and I can have some really good conversations with people that have differing opinions, but I don't need to engage in every debate. I don't need to compromise my mental health. I don't need to compromise personal relationships. And if there are people that are not meant to be in my lives because it just isn't going to work, because there never seems to be an ability to be able to do that, we need to figure out how to find a boundary for that. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't always necessarily mean walking away, but it definitely means that we need to set a limit. I have some friends in my life, or some people in my life, some people in my life that we don't talk about politics. We know it and we just don't talk about it, or we don't talk about certain things. We just don't go there. And so it's very, very important, I think, that boundaries are not about shutting down conversations or dialogue, but they're ensuring that conversations are respectful, that they're productive, that they actually are healthy and they go somewhere. And when we get to a stalemate where they can't go anywhere, we change the subject. We go somewhere else. We end the conversation. We move on. It just is not healthy to try to convince another person of what you believe. It's okay to believe what you believe. I will never disavow what I believe and what I know to be true for myself and what I wish for the world or society or other people. But it's not my place to put that upon other people if they're not willing to listen. So I think we gain more clarity and more freedom away from the anxiety and the overwhelm when we're able to come back to what we can control for ourselves and have the intention that no matter what's happening around me, I'm not going to let the external world take my life away. I'm just not.
Mm-hmm. And that is the benefit of setting boundaries, especially during these challenging times, and maybe upping the boundaries that you have for yourself, because everything is extremely heightened. Everything is pretty triggering. Like you can't watch TV. You can't drive down the street. You can't go on the internet without being bombarded by all of this information.
But I want to say it doesn't have to be triggering. That's what this whole conversation is about. And I love what you just said. You know,
for a lot of people, it is triggering.
It is triggering.
It's triggering for me.
I understand that, but it doesn't have to be, because we can't allow it to always trigger us because it's always around us.
Well, I'm saying you can be triggered, but then decide how you're going to manage that trigger.
Yes.
For me, it's just a feeling.
Yes.
And I process that feeling, and especially these days, not act on it and let it just move through me.
Understand. I think I interpreted the word trigger as being a too emotional thing. I understand what you're saying. And I think you just really hit it really well, the point really well. We have to understand our own selves, and we have to understand our own ways that we get moved out of our daily lives in the present moment into a triggered place. And then what is it that we have to do next?
I think it's a lot, because
you and I were watching TV the other day and an advertisement came up for something that's happening in our state. And this advertisement was very pro this amendment that was going to be passed. And then right back to back after that ad was the exact opposite. The ad was for, and I just felt like within however long it took for both ads to run, it was like a whiplash of emotion and just feeling crazy, honestly. And I know exactly where I stand for myself personally of what, where I would vote or take action on that, that issue. But it just, it was crazy.
Okay.
And I looked at you and I was like, having those back to back just felt nuts. And even though I know how I feel and where I stand on that, it was triggering to just have that, you know, tug of war of emotions and watching it when I think we were just like watching sports or something that was meant to be
fun
or, you know, escapist to a degree. And that's what I mean, where it's like, you can't go anywhere or do anything without sometimes being faced with such a pull of emotions constantly. And I think that's where boundaries come in for sure at this time, because it's going to continue to get worse as we get closer to these things being the election, and it's going to feel like we're in a insane asylum for sure.
No, I understand. That's it's certainly, if you live in the United States and you're living in one of the 50 states, that is a huge, you know, toss up or whatever you want to call it for guiding the election or winning the election. You're right. I've never seen such a thing of back-to-back commercials like that, that are pitting against each other, but I also, it's constant. And so I think that's when it's time to disengage. Cause you're right. That was
really
wild.
The ads are upsetting.
No, they are. Well, everything in this country, speaking for the United States right now, I can't speak for the rest of the world, but everything in this country is like over the top. I agree with that in so many ways of just extreme, visuals, let's just put it that way, visuals and wordings of everything that's happening and everything that's going wrong and everything that's happening to the citizens of this country. So I think going back to the very beginning of this conversation, that's why we have to limit the news. And I know you laughed at me when I said television, but that's where all of these ads are for the most part. If you're watching a sporting event on TV, so it is very jarring when you're watching a fun football game, let's say, and you're having so much fun, and then all of a sudden you've got these back-to-back really crude, terrible commercials.
Well, It is everywhere. I mean, my guilty pleasure self-care activity that I know you cringe is I really like to play Candy Crush. I've been playing it forever, and there's ads in that game.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I just dislike it even more now. There's ads in Candy Crush?
You get ads like if you want extra lives or whatever.
Oh my gosh.
But my point is, I've had political ads in Candy Crush.
Oh, I had no idea.
Where like, that's crazy. So it is inescapable, even if it's not on TV, if you're,
yeah,
it makes its way to you. So setting boundaries for sure, like, and doubling down on the boundaries, because it is the way to protect your peace and to help you stay sane.
Yes. And yes. Oh my gosh. I had no idea there were ads on commercials on Candy Crush. But so I think it's important to understand as we wrap up this little part that not everyone's going to share a perspective. And that's become very apparent in the days that we live in the world that we're living in. And it's normal. I mean, we're not supposed to all have the same perspective. We're not supposed to all think the same. So we have to understand that, and opinions are going to differ, and disagreements are going to equate to a personal attack, which I think is what's happening a lot. And we are taking a lot of this personally because it feels personal. So all of that is real. I'm not saying that any of that is not real. And we're not trying to say that you're not feeling normal and you're not feeling absolutely real, all of you listening, that this is all real. It's just so important to get so connected to yourself that you know when to stop, or you know what your limits are. You know what boundaries you have to set with people. You know what boundaries you have to set with technology. You have to limit the news consumption. We have to take action. And I think that's the thing. If we don't do all of these things, we're going to start to become hopeless and inactive.
Yeah.
It's going to be an inward thing where we're constantly just internalizing all this, and then we're not going to be able to take an action. And so I found that it's important for me to understand, where do I want to get, you know, my information, and then try to stop it at that. Sometimes, of course, we're not perfect and we're going to go overboard, but I'm able to bring myself back, or as you said, have another buddy or another friend that can help bring yourself back, so that we can take positive, proactive steps to transform the feelings that we might be feeling, because we are the only ones that can do that. Because just because we might get the outcome that we wish, it doesn't mean that the chaos and the overwhelm and all the stuff in the outside world is going to go away, because all those people that didn't want the outcome that we wish are going to be, you know, in chaotic states. And vice versa.
There's no Band-Aid to fix this.
No. So
whole
we have
situation.
To, we have to fix it ourselves. So channeling our energy into positive action, into the things that we love to do, into the things that bring us joy, into the people that we love to be with, and talking about things that don't always include all of the tumultuous things that are happening in the world or happening in the day around us. We have to be able to find some sort of an even keel, even if balance isn't quite helpful right now because it seems too hard. How can I find a little bit of an even keel where I actually feel like I have my footing in the present moment? And there are some things that I love about my life, regardless of what's happening in the world.
Yeah.
And for me, that's, you know, when I wake up in the morning, no matter what's happening, the first thing I do when I step out of bed is I say, thank you for the gift of this new day. Even if yesterday sucked, even if yesterday was the most sad, sorrowful, anger-filling, overwhelming day I've ever had, I go to bed knowing that tomorrow is another day. Nothing lasts forever. Everything is impermanent, and tomorrow is another day. So gratitude is something that I always start my day with. I don't know if you've ever known me that I've not walked into your bedroom or walked into your house or picked you up from the car and I haven't been in a good mood. Good morning, Michelle. How are you today? Or I'm always smiling, or I'm always, and you often you'll say to me, you're chipper today. So
this
I think
is true. And you, when back in the day when we were in a different living environment that was chaotic at times, you would say, you know, I start my day on the right foot in a good mood, and it's you all that bring me down in your chaos and your dysfunction. And so I can confirm that you do start chipper, and it's, yeah.
Well, because this is a practice that works. And I want to say, I used to say that to her when it was happening, because I used to think that that would be a backwards way of getting her to get into a good mood. But you know what? I was trying to control her, and that doesn't work. So,
well, and also your ex-husband was also in that mix. You would say it to both of us.
Yes, that's true.
So that was toxic.
That's true.
Anyways.
But anyways, what I want to say about that is it works. Gratitude, waking up, how you start the day sets the tone for the entire day. And if you can wake up, and even if you don't feel it, say it. It's almost that, you know, believe it and you're going to see it. It's one of those things that works. And now the rest of the day can go way downhill. It doesn't mean that nothing is going to bother you and everything's just going to kind of slide off your back. No, it means that I'm going to start my day with the best outcome and the best attitude and the best belief that I possibly can. And then it could be downhill from there, but it won't, you know, if you're starting already downhill from there, then you're in the dungeon from there. So I believe this is a huge self-care thing. And it's changed my life. I can't think of a day that I wake up that I don't feel grateful, even if I'm not feeling well, which you all know I hadn't been feeling well lately, and, you know, fractured my knee and all of that. I still wake up that way because I want that to be my baseline, or I want that to be the baseline that I start the day with. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful, I think the thing that I want to say about it, it truly is a powerful antidote to fear and anxiety in that moment. And it doesn't mean that fear and anxiety don't overcome me throughout the day sometimes, but it means that I'm beginning and I have that deep knowing for the blessings and the things that I do have in my life. And it's a good strategy as a kind of a mental buffer against stress sometimes. It is a powerful tool. Gratitude is a powerful tool. And when you wake up in the morning in that way, it serves me well. And I think it would serve anybody well that uses that.
Absolutely. And another way to, you know, seek to protect your peace and feel purposeful, especially during these times where it feels like you might not have a say or any power or control, is to not let anything that's happening around you take away your ability to actually take actions that can affect or influence the outcomes that you desire. You know, this is an election-themed episode, and we have the right to vote. And that is an action that we can all take to have our voices be heard, and it's important. And you can contribute so much more towards things and outcomes that you desire outside of voting too, like getting involved with groups and organizations and missions that share your values. Like, it doesn't always have to just be an every 4-year thing where you cast your vote, but if there's issues that really concern you, figuring out where and who are the people that are really focused on those issues in the in-between times and getting involved with that as well, so that you can feel like you're a part of something that's making the change that you desire. And those small little actions do have impact.
I agree completely. One of the things I was thinking about as you were talking is, as we talk about the practices or some of the things we've been talking about, trying to find, as you start your day with gratitude, or you look at the things where I can just pause and breathe and begin again and take time for yourself and the self-care practices and setting the boundaries, offering yourself a break from the news, you know, knowing where your limits are when you need to disengage, all of the things we've been talking about, allowing yourself to never be disrespected, because there's nothing in what we're saying today means that you ever, ever, ever abandoned who you are, what you believe, the values, the goals, the desires that you have for your life and that you have, that you hopefully maybe have for the world, but for yourself, this is what you believe. Never, ever any of that. And one of the things that has helped me the most as well, obviously, is my mindfulness and meditation practice, trying to stay in the present moment, quieting myself from the noise, just sitting down for a moment and just breathing for a moment. And one of my favorite, it just, what you were saying kind of brought me to one of my favorite authors, and she's my generation. And she's written a lot of books, but what I love most about her was listening to her talks and also some of the quotes that she has. But one of the things she used to say a lot, and this was back in the day before we had all of this technology and all of this stuff, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. And I remember hearing her say that for the first time, and I thought...
Who?
Oh, I'm sorry. Annie Lamott. Sorry, Annie Lamott. And I think if you have that in your back pocket, wait a minute, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling stressed, I'm feeling so much anxiety about myself, about the world, about the economy, about gun violence, about the state of the world, about the wall, all of the things. Wait a minute, I don't know if I'm working right now. I'm really getting stuck. Unplug for just a few minutes. Go into the bathroom. Go sit down in a corner of your house in some place quiet if you can. Just even for a few minutes, even for a few minutes, and just start to breathe. And just say, this too shall pass. Everything is impermanent. Any of those things, that is what she means. And that's what I do all the time. That is unplugging yourself. Unplug yourself from the external world just for a few minutes. And one of the things that meditation and mindfulness does, obviously it brings you back to the present moment. But there's a meditation technique that I've been thinking about lately. It's what we do in meditation, but I think it can be done in those couple minutes as well. Let's say you sit down and you've got your phone in your hand, or you've got a book in your hand, or you've got a pen and paper in your hand. You're at your office and you just sit down and you want to unplug for a moment. Just completely take a look at that book and just concentrate on that book for 2 minutes. Just breathe and look at the book. Breathe and look at the book, or breathe and look at the pen, or breathe just for a couple of minutes. Focusing your attention on one thing is massive for bringing yourself back down to center. Relieving some stress, relieving some anxiety. That idea, if it's too hard to focus just on your breath, allow yourself to breathe, and obviously allow yourself to breathing in and out, but focus on something, or find something on the wall, or find something in the ceiling. Just focus on that for a couple of minutes while you're breathing. We are so unfocused today. Our minds are everywhere. We are distracted with everything. We are distracted with the noise and the clutter and the disturbance. If you can just allow yourself to focus for 1 minute of breathing, and it doesn't matter, I don't want to say it doesn't matter what you're focused on, but just some inanimate object, a chair, a pen, anything, just for a minute while you're breathing. This is unplugging and remembering that almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes. And you will be amazed at how different you feel for that moment. And sometimes we have to do it over and over and over in a day. I do it over and over and over in my lifetime. But this is mindfulness. This is meditation. You don't have to sit in a chair for 20 minutes. You don't have to go somewhere. You literally could go sit in the bathroom and just focus. We are so distracted, and I think it's causing such damage to our health, our mental health, our physical health. I know when I get distracted, and I've said this to you often in the past 6 months, especially with not feeling well, being distracted for me is my worst enemy. I am all over the place. I don't feel well. I can see links to my health. I can see links to fracturing my knee. Mm-hmm. I can see links to being distracted. So if I can give any other tip before we close out our talk today, our conversation today, it's to find ways to be one-pointed. Find ways to be just in the moment, even if it's just for a minute here and a minute there. And try to undistract yourself. Because for me, practicing meditation for 40 years, I've become more focused. I've become more one-pointed. It's one of the major benefits. So when I allow myself to get distracted, I'm a wreck.
Yeah.
I am a little wreck.
I can attest
to that. Literal wreck. And Michelle will say, "What is wrong with you?" I said, "I'm distracted.
Yeah.
I need to go get focused."
I can attest to that. For sure. That is a dynamic for you that really causes you a widespread of emotions and frustration and anxiety and chaos.
Well, because these practices work. Meditation, mindfulness, self-care, self-love, they all work. Affirmations, mantras, they all work. It works if you work it. I learned that in AA. You know, practices work if you work it. You can form healthy habits and you can form unhealthy habits. They work if you work it. So they work. So I have literally changed my brain to not be okay when it's distracted, to not be okay when it's all over the place, to not be okay when it can't be focused. So one of the affirmations I use is from one of my favorite teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, who I've talked about on the show a lot, is he gave this to us during one of our retreats: smile, breathe, and go slowly. Because when I get distracted, I am speeded up. Smile, breathe, and go slowly, Barb. Smile, breathe, and just, you know, repeat that in your mind a few minutes while you're breathing. We're not talking about taking a whole lot of time for these self-care things, these self-care rituals, these self-care practices. Really talking about finding a minute here and a minute there that brings you back to center, that brings you back to who you are, brings you back to your values, brings you back to the love that you have for yourself, and knowing that you have everything that you need inside of you to live the life that you desire to live and control the things that you can control.
I love that. That's a really helpful mantra to think about as we move through these times and with this uncertainty. I like it.
Well, I love you, honey. I know this has been very, it has been very heavy. And I know that you felt a lot of emotions over the past few days and past few weeks and past few months, just like everyone listening to this show. And I just want to say, I love you very much, Michelle.
I love you too, Mom.
And I love being your little buddy to
my little buddy
help you go through life with. And I love being here with all of you. We are here for you and you're not alone. And these are difficult times. And just remembering that this too shall pass and nothing is ever final. So if we're not getting what we want, whether it be in the election, whether it be in life, whether it be with friends, whether it be with families, if we're not getting what we want, stay true to what you want or stay true to who you are, knowing that nothing is ever final. And always do your little part that you can do for yourself that's going to ultimately impact the rest of the people around you, and I believe the world. And remembering that it may seem too small to matter, something that you're doing or something that you feel like you want to do, so you just don't do it, but it matters greatly that you do it for your own mental and physical well-being, but for also the sake of the rest of the world and your families.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to kind of quickly recap what we discussed and some tangible takeaways, I haven't said that in a long time on the show. You know, these times and the world that we live in can feel overwhelming and out of control, but certainly there are tools and practices that we can lean on to help us move through it with a little more grace and compassion and self-love. Certainly accepting and releasing control of the external world and remembering what we can control, which is an internal practice of managing our responses and reactions to life and its triggers, can help us to feel a lot more empowered in a sometimes seemingly powerless world. Leaning into your boundaries and maybe doubling down on some of your boundaries, especially as things get a little hairier and trickier, can really help protect your peace. And communicating them clearly and kindly, as always, knowing that boundaries are a self-care practice and they're not walls to keep people out, but certainly they're the guideposts and goalposts to protect your own peace. And of course, you know, taking action and moving the needle forward for things that you care about, and always remembering that even if you feel apathetic or indifferent, or that what you say and do doesn't matter, know that it does. And, you know, as we talk about trust your timing, we don't know how things will unfold, but we have to keep up the faith and hope that when we continue to take the actions towards the goals that we desire, you know, we'll get to that place that we want to be. And that's the hope that we maintain. And of course, if you are, you know, in the U.S., make sure you have a plan to vote, because voting is a right that we all need to exercise. So let us know how you're feeling and what you think, and if there are strategies that have helped you to stay calm and cool and collected during this time, or if you need to chat with anyone. You know, we are a community, so feel free to send us a message of how you're doing and what you're thinking about the times that we're living in. Right, Mom?
Yes. All I just want to say to end my part is smile, breathe, and go slowly.
I love it.
Take it slower. You know, take it down a notch. We're really going at a fast pace in life. And I am a very fast-paced person, and I've really been taking it slowly the past few months. So you start to feel anxiety, just kind of pause for a moment and smile, breathe, and go slowly. I love you.
Love you. And we love you all. Thank you so much for listening. We're so grateful for all of you, and we're here for you. If you haven't yet, make sure that you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so that you're always up to date with each new episode. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify and leave us a review if you haven't yet already. We appreciate it so much and are so grateful to all of you to help us grow the show. Lastly, if you have questions, comments, concerns, or want to chat about this topic or a future topic, make sure you're following us on social media at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to stay in touch. You can also find us on Substack with 2 links in the show notes. So click in there to make sure that you're signed up. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week, because as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.